Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. Today we're going to dive into an incredible work that fits within the myriad of works by the only true God in their creation. This labor of love is accomplished by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Their work grind is mutually collaborative and carried out in perfect spiritual union, absolute truth, perfect harmony, and precise timing. If you are the recipient of their glorious work, then you should be extremely grateful and endeavor to persevere through this dark place where God's light illuminates your pathway and directs your steps. How is it that you become the beneficiary of this magnificent workmanship of God? Were you born with it? Do you deserve it? Did you desire it or earn it? Were you worthy of it? The simple truth? No, none of the above. You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life, Calling. If we're to look at God's irrevocable spiritual calling on your life, consider this as an example for how God's supernatural salvation comes to the place where your house is anchored. Now, let's imagine that something's occurring and you're completely ignorant and unfamiliar to it. So, you're just going about your daily, you know, your routines, practices, habits, traditions, behaviors, and rituals. Now remember, you're entirely oblivious to what's happening, that something is happening outside of your purview, because it's God's predetermined plan. And all of a sudden, your email dings, or your text chimes, or your unique ringtone sounds off loudly. This news is totally unexpected, unforeseen, and completely overpowering, irresistible, and overwhelming. Now, I wonder what your thoughts came to your mind. Was it the kind of news that would be considered undesirable, dreadful, or gloomy? Because if it was, that's how much this sin-infested snake pit has seeped and interwoven its destructive, cynical, and negative clutches into our essence. No, my fellow disciples, it's just the opposite. When we submerge into God's phenomenal spiritual salvation work that occurs only in the lives of their disciples, I hope this good news and truths bring you a sense of awe and thankfulness from within your innermost being that God called Y-O-U. And I pray that after listening to these truths of God in His living and active Word, you'll hear the good news, and it will be the catalyst to change the way you're thinking and about your spiritual life, the way you're walking, and how you're living out God's calling on your life. Amen. If you've been listening these past several weeks, then you should know what God's unadulterated truth should mean to your spiritual well-being and everyone's need for God's external energia that brings forth life to a dead creature. And of course, that energia causes you to act on Jesus' words, and you, like all disciples alike, experience the change in the way you're thinking, which changes the way you think, walk, talk, love, pray, serve, and worship the only true God. That's the plain old truth. Now, first and foremost, you must accept, realize, and understand that what God says in and through His Word is what God says. Not John, not Peter, nor Paul, and the rest. It's God and God alone. My fellow disciples, all disciples are God's instruments designed, created, and placed into humanity by God to bring His truths into your heart and mind, just like God has done to me, you, and all the rest. Amen. And whatever God says they will do, they will do. That's the simple truth. And as we've learned, God's word causes their disciples to test themselves regarding what you've heard, been taught, and what you believe. Because how you view, consider, and understand the pure milk of God's truth is crucial to your own spiritual life or spiritual condemnation. NGA. That's the plain old truth. What we will do today is just look at the pure milk of God's word. Amen? Now, listen to what God is saying through the disciple Peter in 1 Peter 2. It says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." Now, it's about God's word and the effect it has on their disciples' heart, mind, and life. God's word is pure, and it's said to be an imperishable or incorruptible seed, depending on your translation. And I do understand, it could be easy to say or view ourselves as one that would not have a demeanor of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, nor slander. But God warns us how sin and evil speaking and actions of malice are, being in the form of hatred, spite, cruelty, and meanness. Deceit, being in the form of dishonesty, falsification of any kind, and unfaithfulness. Hypocrisy, being in the form of insincerities relationally, making promises that are not kept, simulated friendships, double standards, and betrayal. Envy, being in the form of bitterness, resentment, and jealousy. And slander, being in the form of insults, bad-mouthing, and degrading. Now listen, when the heart has any aspects of these kinds of sin flooding in and through it, the heart and the mind are saturated with sin and cannot receive God's word. Sin and the ways of the world must not be the primary source that fills your heart and soaks your mind more than God's word. That's the simple truth. Why? Because your eyes, mouth, and feet will follow either the way that the broad that leads to destruction or the way that's narrow that leads to life. NGA. Go read, study, and meditate on what Jesus says in Matthew 7. To be like a newborn baby that in the physical thrive and survive on their mother's milk. And as disciples of Jesus, God's word is the sustenance for our spiritual essence. And as the milk is to you as a baby in the physical, it's God's word and spirit in the spiritual. Because you have tasted and seen the goodness of God. Amen? Secondly, you must acknowledge and admit to yourself that you are spiritually dead before God in His love, mercy, and grace makes you alive, and you become this new creature, born again, as Jesus says in John 3. And when you are regenerated by God the Holy Spirit's work, this new way of life and thinking requires proper food to help you with the renewing of your mind that has been contaminated by the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes and a boastful pride of life and the things and distractions from this sin-infested snake pit called the world. All accomplished by God's will, God's plan, and God's work. And I pray at this moment, someone who is listening shouted, Philippians 2:13. Amen, my brother and sister, amen. Listen to this truth of God and remember, when God says spiritually dead, God means you are spiritually lifeless, insensitive, unresponsive, inflexible, unyielding, unruly, and disobedient, and your heart and mind is full of sin's contamination, and this rebellious behavior is all the way into your innermost being. And some may claim it to be slight in kind, or mild compared to severe. Yet regardless of the degrees, sorts, and the continuous practice, it's sin nonetheless. And just like the rest, your zip code is EGYPT, and you'll need to be saved by God just like the rest of us. And you can find this truth of one's spiritual deadness before being made alive by God in Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2. Amen. God's word is quite self-explanatory. Go read, study, and meditate on these confirming biblical truths of God about your spiritual position and condition. And before we break the surface, these last few points of consideration are: every reprobate is a saved reprobate. It was not of yourself. God saved you. Remember Zacchaeus and what Jesus said to him? It's the same as God says to you. Today, salvation has come. That's in Isaiah 62, Luke 19, Romans 11, Ephesians 2, and Revelations 12. God's salvation, by his hand and marvelous light, invades the spiritual corpse's darkness. That's God's truth in action and testified to in Colossians 1. Now listen to what Jesus says in John 6. Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Did you hear what Jesus says? This is the work of God, that you believe. Listen to these words of Jesus. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God," as I quote what God is saying through their disciple John in John chapter 1. Your salvation story is God's supernatural, phenomenal work story. And when it's God's supernatural work story, then God gets the glory for the changes in one's salvation. And where we are headed is God's phenomenal supernatural work in the physical that clearly demonstrates what God completes in one's spiritual position and condition. In other words, your spiritual position is in the domain of darkness, and your spiritual condition is you are dead as a doornail in your trespasses and sin. Now, snug up your mask and chomp down on your regulator mouthpiece, because you will either believe what God is saying and continue on the dive, or you will float back to the surface and expose yourself to more spiritual deceptions. Because the plain old truth, when you believe in Jesus and the act on his words and the Spirit of God is in your innermost being, you're born of the Spirit, and you are building your house on the rock. And if you choose not to believe the truths of God and tune me out, then it's the sand, NGA. Now, this Godcast will be a little different. I'm inspired to have you hear some points of consideration before diving into God's Word. I pray when you hear God, he will illuminate your mind and open your heart to receive what I'm saying to you. Amen? Let's dive in. Go get Jesus. He's Emmanuel, Lamb of God, the Word, Son of Man, Bread of Life, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Jesus' focus is always to glorify God the Father. When God calls, you move. God will circle back. God delays, so the truth removes all doubt. The magnificence of God's love. Sickness for those we love, or our affliction also. We are called to weep with those who weep. Sickness and death come to all alike. Physical death is the gateway to either eternal life or eternal death, NGA. The body's death is the opening for the soul and spirit to vacate the premises that came together when infused at conception. It takes an external power to regenerate. When physical death comes, decomposition begins immediately. Now, let's go deeper. Listen to this inspiring work of God, which is titled The Death and Resurrection of Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in a place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Then the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Then he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Let us go to him." Therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?" So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laying up against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Now let's emerge into this truth given to us by God. Listen. There are physical and spiritual aspects within this account given to us by God. The plain old truth, you are Lazarus. I am Lazarus. Every disciple of Jesus is Lazarus. You are spiritually dead, and it takes the work of God to make you alive. Because one would think Lazarus loved his sisters, and if he was able to make himself alive, why didn't he before Jesus came and he could show Jesus his own work of salvation? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? So does making a decision about your salvation and you deciding when you will gain access into God's kingdom. I'm just testifying to what God has already testified in his word. Hang in there, and you will hear it for yourself. Amen? Now, if you hear anything contrary to God's word, what are you to do as a disciple of Jesus? Do you remember? God commands us to test the spirits. So, ask, why would God ever put eternity in the hands of a creature that possesses an evil sin nature? And see what their answer would be. And it should be, they wouldn't. That's the plain old truth. Now, in this account given to us about Lazarus' death and resurrection, this is what you really have, these key points. You have dead and alive, death and life, captive and free, sickness and health, absence and presence, stationary and moving, alone and with, delay and go, not called and called, deaf and hearing, light and darkness, unbelief and belief, stench, sweet aroma, and bound and free. You, me, and Jesus, death in you can be physically and spiritually. Life and eternity is only in and through Jesus alone. You are captive to sin and death, and it's God that unbinds you from sin and death and commands that you go free. What I mean is, the tomb is captivity. Lazarus was captive by death in the spiritual. An unregenerate soul living in the practice of sin is like the tomb. It holds you captive. Consider this. Lazarus is physically dead, right? And we all know that when someone dies, all their natural functionality stops. No breathing, no seeing, no hearing, etc. Am I correct? So, how did Lazarus hear Jesus? Well, my fellow disciples, the work and power of God the Holy Spirit. Because Lazarus had to be made alive to hear Jesus' voice. Because the dead don't hear. That's the plain old truth. And they don't hear the truth of God in the physical, nor in the spiritual. So you must believe this truth that God must make you alive in order to hear. The simple truth, you hear because it's God's work that brings forth your spiritual hearing. Listen. First, God gives the command to hear. And it sounds like this. He who has ears, let him hear. That is a command given by God in Matthew 13. Now, I know there were not people standing around behind others with their hands over their ears, preventing the free flow of words. No. Now listen to Jesus. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. And blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. And we know that Lazarus is dead, because he was in the tomb 4 days and decomp begins immediately. And Mary makes it obvious that when they opened that tomb, the stench would be unpleasant to say the least. But that same question applies to Jesus. Who raised Jesus? Because he was dead. As we are approaching Resurrection Sunday. And since Jesus has testified that he and the Father are one, and we know that they are three distinct persons, which explains the plurality of the persons of God, therefore, God the Holy Spirit is at work. Listen to this truth of God. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And you will find this truth in Romans 8. So, it takes an external power to bring the dead to life in the physical and the spiritual, my fellow disciples. That's the plain old truth. And one last important point about that day at the cemetery, my fellow disciples. Do you know that when Jesus called Lazarus and called him and him only to come forth? Because if Jesus would have cried out in a loud voice, come forth, all the dead would have walked forth at Jesus' command. Do you believe? And if you need proof, you know you're going to get it. Listen to God. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Do you believe God, his word, and his works in Matthew 27? Now, our next stop in our calling exploration, here are some points to consider. God called you. You didn't call him. God's salvation creates a generational family unit. You leave the things of this world. You acquire a new spirit, and your thinking does change. God chose you, and you are distinct from the rest of humanity. God's power and spirit brings forth noticeable differences within your essence. You are God's peculiar people and the recipients of God's mercy. God's spirit creates an essence of light, joy, pleasure, and spiritual richness. Darkness was your appearance and your environment before God called you out of them. And you proclaim you're a beneficiary of God's supernatural heart and spirit transplant and transportation relocation. Now listen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, as God has written through their disciple Peter in 1 Peter 2. Just think about this point. With all the footprints made on this planet throughout all of humanity, God has chosen you. And you have the only true God's presence in your essence. A totally amazing thought if you would just stop and quiet the noise. You have now, by the finished work of Jesus, entered into a priesthood that's ordained by God. You have an eternal relationship with the only true God forever, and being sanctified by his Spirit, you are their disciples and share in the power over sin, your flesh, and enemies. And being separated from the world, you are consecrated to God. You belong to the only true God and are no longer an orphan wandering spiritually from here to there. Now, go and proclaim him for their excellent work in your life on the day that God said, I love you. Now change. As we head back up, take this with you. God has been calling ever since the beginning. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. God called to the men. He called from the midst of the bush. God has called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is called the Son of the Most High, called the Son of God, and you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you as 1 Peter 5 confirms God's promise. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. 1 John 3 testifies of God's truth. And Revelation 19 says, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And finally, Romans 11, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience. All things happen in God's timing. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, there is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. Now the plain old truth, your birth, your salvation, and your last breath on this sin-infested snake pit, all according to God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge. Do you believe? Jesus' return will be at God's time and will be right on schedule, not the day before. It will be exactly when God ordained it. Take a few minutes and review the picture for this week's Godcast. It's a visual to encourage you as to the work of God in your life. The clouds represent the supernatural spiritual working of God's salvation in you as God transferred you from the domain of darkness to God's marvelous light. Do you notice the change? And finally, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Abba, I know I did not deserve your grace, and I could never have earned your salvation. I know it's by your love and mercy that you have brought forth life to this spiritually dead creature. I thank you for making me alive and into a new creature. Please forgive me of my unfaithfulness and allowing sin to creep its ugly head into my thoughts, words, and deeds. But I know in confessing my sin, you are faithful to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your life and work. Lord, I know you are still calling those forth to bring your truths to the world. I ask that you answer those prayers of your disciples that truly desire for their family members that have yet to be called and need to hear your command to hear. Give them ears to hear. I ask that you grant hearing, so they too will proclaim the excellencies of you that called them out of darkness into your marvelous light. Make your next Lazarus known, so that we too can proclaim the riches of your love, grace, mercy, and deliverance. We are so thankful for this life, and may you be pleased by what you see and what you hear. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.